Should we do this? Do you guys want to just start asking questions, and we can start answering them?
So I have a quick question.
Yeah.
How do you feel about clowns? Because I know when I watched the original, I hated clowns after that. So, you guys?
I don't feel very good about them, honestly. I don't feel great about that one.
Why is that, bro? What's wrong with clowns?
Well, because when I was 12. Because when I was 10, I saw Poltergeist, so.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Go ahead, sir.
No, I don't know what you mean. I don't know why they're so scary, bro.
Well, I was actually trying to think about this.
That was a scary voice.
Everyone was terrified.
I was trying to think about this earlier, like it's a chicken and the egg thing. Did Poltergeist make clowns scary, or were clowns always scary and we just pushed them on children without really stopping to think that we were, you know, ruining their lives and their childhoods?
I think Gil, you're right, because old baby dolls are scary too. So I think we give our kids
I think there's something about freezing an expression in plastic or porcelain. It's human, but it's dead, and it's worse when it's smiling forever, mm-hmm. right? And the eyes, you know, catch just enough light to connect with you across the room. I don't think it was ever cool. I think it just took enough time for people to acknowledge it and then put it in the movies, and then Poltergeist, and now this Poltergeist. Mm-hmm.
Saying this role is completely different. I like playing this guy because he's an ordinary guy in an extraordinary circumstance. I usually play, you know, psychopaths and weirdos, and so it was fun for me to just play the every Joe.
This
every
was a man. Stretch for you.
Yeah, it's a stretch to be a normal person.
Yeah.
Thanks, bro.
How did the concept come around to
remake
Poltergeist?
Well, I've talked about this with Sam Raimi recently when we've done some interviews together, and he knows a bit more of the sordid history. I think that they've been trying for a long time to find a way to come back to the Poltergeist name and sort of reignite the franchise or the title. And I think that they, as he tells it, there have been several attempts and none of them felt right. They had certain elements that worked, but it just didn't feel like it lived up to what a Poltergeist film had to be. Because there's a certain standard that comes with Poltergeist. It's not just a world or some iconic moments. It's also about telling that story as well as could possibly be done with the best craft and the best actors, and so that standard was part of what sort of limited the development of it for a while, until when Sam Raimi became involved, he brought in the screenwriter David Lindsay Abaire, who wrote a screenplay that had enough elements, enough of the human story that felt like it had its own pulse to ignite the version of the film that we're here talking about today.
Awesome. Hi, everyone.
Hi.
So with movies that have, like, you know, like haunted elements, that there usually are, like, onset stories of, like, strange things happening. Is there anything, like, fun or, like, scary, like, onset moments that you guys experienced, or was the set clean?
It was not the cleanest set in the world. There were a few things. I mean, I'll let, like, everyone probably has their own personal terrifying experience. Like, I was just speaking about this with one of your colleagues earlier. I think that a part of this was a heightened awareness on all of our parts to the unknown or the occult or the unexplained elements that perhaps we are surrounded by on a daily basis and just aren't aware of it because we're not making a Poltergeist movie every day of our life. But when you're making these films, I think that there is an awareness. You flip a switch, and sure, we had unexplained incidences. We had lights that were blowing up on their own. We had drones that couldn't lock onto a GPS signal. I may or may not have taken
some... We were in Canada, though.
right.
I'm kidding.
But I brought home some thermal imaging gear and may or may not have seen footsteps walking along the hardwood floor of my 1830s Victorian house. But so there was some stuff, but I think I'll speak for all of us when I say that, you know, part of the joy of telling a supernatural story is that it opens you up to the possibilities of there being weird stuff out there.
What's that? Oh, no, no.
Yeah, Sam, you wore red underwear.
Yes, I did.
On the scene where we're supposed to be getting it on, I was like, Rosemary interesting was choice,
yeah.
Supernatural, odd. Yeah.
That was my prank, yeah.
Over to your right, over here. Sorry. You mentioned reigniting the franchise, though, in terms of the Poltergeist group. Over the past couple of years, we've seen a resurgence of the horror genre. It's doing remarkably well financially. People are, you know, flocking to see the newest one. This movie comes out during the summer, which is a very competitive, high-budget season. For all three, what do you think the new fascination is with this genre?
It's been around for a while. I think it's like a roller coaster ride. You know, people just like to be scared. I went to Six Flags Great Adventure recently and did the roller coasters, and it was amazingly scary and thrilling. And there's something about, you know, a life and death experience, like parachuting out of a plane or something like that, where you get that adrenaline, and then when you come down from it, there's a feeling of enlightenment that comes along with that. I think you feel like you're safe again.
I also don't think there's as many communal experiences and entertainment as we had, you know, previously. Seeing a horror movie is like you grab your neighbor, you toss your popcorn over your shoulder, you start laughing at the person you don't even know because you can't believe you screamed in their ear. We're watching movies alone in front of our computer screens in our beds a lot, and there's something about coming together in this way that I think people still really vibe with.
That's true. I just saw Fury Road at the Dome, the ArcLight. It was fantastic, you know.
Yeah, like a good rock. I mean, a good horror movie is like a rock concert.
Yeah,
you know what I mean.
Like
the audience participation is really big.
Yeah.
I'm here. The decision to make it creepy. How came up all these to make it creepy?
Basically, I begged and pleaded long enough until they allowed me to make it 3D. I felt convinced from the beginning that we don't get enough haunted house films made to a level of spectacle that I want or I wanted as a kid growing up. And I got to make a 3D film once before with my first film, Monster House, and it felt to me like the genre, the premise was so well suited to the experience of feeling transported out of your seat and into the screen. And so I knew in my heart that it's how I wanted to make a film. And secretly, when we were photographing the film, I was aligning the compositions to make the most out of depth. And then we were able to sort of flip the switch pretty early in the production process, and from that point on, never looked back. But it was hardwired into how I wanted to make the film. Cool,
in
thanks.
The portal, you know, when they feel the dead body.
Yeah, the other side. I mean, you know, that was it. Like one of the things that got me so excited about making a new Poltergeist film was being able to take the camera into the other side, and that felt like, you know, and that we all have cameras, or a lot of us have access now to cameras that can hover in space and float through rooms, these drones that are proliferating. And it's such an amazing time to be able to tap into like existing technology that teenagers or adults that act like teenagers have access to, and to use those elements to tell our ghost story was like a natural.
Hi Sam, I was wondering what are the favorite movies, the horror favorite movies that you have, and did you watch The Poltergeist before you shoot this one?
I did watch The Poltergeist yet again in deciding whether to do the movie or not, and I did. And some of my favorite horror movies are great films, you know, not just great horror films. The Exorcist, Rosemary's Baby, Invasion of the Body Snatchers, John Carpenter's The Thing was a remake. So was Invasion of the Body Snatchers,
yeah.
And you know, those were great films with great acting, really amazing acting. Rosemary's Baby was Roman Polanski, you know, so, yeah. It's a great genre to be a part of.
Hey, Gil, this one's for you. It's a question about the setting of the film, in terms of changing it from kind of an idyllic suburban setting, sort of a Reagan era, you know, perfect manicured lawns, to kind of a more economically depressed and ragged looking version of the suburbs. Can you speak a little on that?
Yeah, I mean, that was initially the hook that made me feel like this was maybe something worth tackling. Because there's so many reasons not to make Poltergeist in 2015. And for me, that was one of those kind of core elements that felt like it was a way to examine how 30 years have changed the American dream, or the dream of the modern family. I grew up in those suburbs in a house that looked almost exactly like the house in the original Poltergeist film, just a little smaller and a little crappier. And so... The opportunity to explore that playground, but to realize that 30 years have taken a toll on it, and in kind, and one of the great things that David Lindsay Abaire, the screenwriter, tackled in his screenplay, was to see how that would affect the characters who have maybe tried to hit a version of their life in the city or in a place that more better suited the dreams and aspirations, hopes that they had as a family, and maybe just miss that mark. And so as we meet them at the beginning of the story, it's an exciting place to see characters who are making the best of a downgraded situation. And that was something that was, you know, dramatically compelling. It felt like an interesting place to start a story. You guys want to add anything?
That says it all.
Sam and Roger, are you believers in the supernatural and ghosts? And do you watch it in any of the shows, so the ghost hunting?
I'm not. I'm not a supernatural person. I'm a man of science. but it's fun. I like horror movies. I like ghost movies.
Yeah, I mean, I hold the possibility that there's so much we don't know about the world, and that it's very arrogant to think that we're we know everything and that we know what's right. I think Sam Rock was very arrogant to be a man of science. No, so I don't know. I mean, for me, this movie, you know, while it is about the supernatural, it was hard for me to wrap my head around acting with ghosts. So it was a lot easier and sort of more fertile ground for me to latch onto the idea of this is a child abduction story and a parent's worst nightmare of losing your child and may never see them again. So, like, you know, then it wasn't really a hard thing to act, and it was very grounded, and it's a very human story, and then we have special effects and we're upside down in the car and, you know, all that kind of stuff. But it was pretty satisfying on that front.
Sam, Rosemary, could you talk about your experience of watching the original Poltergeist the first time, what you remember about that, and also, you know, it's a classic, iconic film. Why remake it?
Well, you know, when I saw it originally, it really just blew the top of my head off. I mean, like Raiders of the Lost Ark or Back to the Future or, you know, any of these kinds of great classic films. You know, it was really beautifully made. Jerry Goldsmith was the composer, right?
Yeah,
and it was an incredible film and very moving. And so, yeah, that's a good question. Why remake it? But, you know, I mean, let's not forget Titanic was a remake. Mutiny on the Bounty, you know, Cape Fear. Why do Hamlet over and over again, you know, or any of these things? You know, because they're great parts. It's a great story to tell. And you can't resist that if it's a great role. So it's a very actor-friendly genre, you know. There's a lot to do.
Yeah, I mean, I remember seeing it when I was 10 and being sufficiently scared. I also remember seeing Carrie and being traumatized. But Poltergeist, I think, is more suitable for teenagers. I didn't rewatch it when I got cast, I started to, and I made it up to the mosquito scene where they were slapping them on their face, which is hysterical and amazing. And Joe Beth Williams and Craig T. Nelson, I mean, we just have so much, like, huge respect for them. Sam actually called them both and asked for advice and their blessing, which they were so cool and gave. But I didn't want it to get into my unconscious and be sort of trying to channel Joe Beth, so I didn't watch it. Maybe now I will. Go check it out. But it was kind of daunting to just know how much you loved the first one.
Hi, Sam. I wanted to ask you about you have two more projects coming out this year. What makes you to choose one movie or another movie? What's the difference between the three projects that you're coming out with?
That's a very personal decision. I think when you're picking material, it's a gut reaction, and it's a really personal thing. And you just either you go for something or you don't. You might have an unconscious agenda creatively, but it's
to work with me because I'm
to work
two
with
those.
Rosemarie because she was in two of the films that I did this year. So that's really random and personal. Doesn't really make any. I can't make any sense of that. Yeah.
Cool.
Hmm? Well, the same, and a lot of times it's just who you want to work with. I've been a huge Sam Rockwell fan, as I imagine you guys all, for a long time in the theater and in films. What is that?
That's a pumping heart for you. My heart is pumping.
Oh, yeah. And it was my dream to work with Sam. And then when I met Gil, I just loved his take on the material. And he's one of the most actor-friendly directors I've ever worked with, and gave us a lot of respect and let us collaborate a lot. So it was a really joyous experience.
Thank you, guys.
Thanks a lot.
Thank you. Thank you.